From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Darryl C. Murphy. Welcome to Consider This from Boston, where the number of nurses in the state has increased since 2019 despite the pandemic. But hospitals, community health centers, and clinics remain short-staffed. WBUR's Martha Biebinger spoke to some of the nurses who quit their jobs after two relentless years of COVID.
Feeling very cynical. I was bad-tempered. I lost the ability to really take care of myself in so many ways.
And Martha joins us now to tell us more. Martha, thanks for coming on.
Glad to be here, Darryl.
So tell us more about who we just heard.
Darryl, that's Tatiana Science. She's leaving her job at a community health center to go back to school. She's had a very rough time during the pandemic. She lost some loved ones to the virus. She took a three-month leave of absence at one point because she was so depressed she couldn't remember patients' names from one day to the next.
Wow.
But even after coming back, she's been so beaten down by the challenges of delivering good care for her patients. She's just done, and she's going to study nursing informatics, which will keep her in the nursing field, but it'll allow her to focus more on kind of the research about the profession and maybe help fix things for people going forward.
Yeah, sounds like she kind of wants to slow down a little bit, give herself a break. So hospitals and health centers can't seem to fill these jobs and these shifts. And while state numbers show there are actually a lot more licensed nurses in Massachusetts today than before the pandemic. So what gives?
Well, that's a good question. And we don't have a clear answer, but the state's nurses union says the issue is that nurses just don't want to work under the current conditions.
Can you tell us more about those conditions?
Yeah, the pandemic has been awful. So initially, you'll remember that there wasn't enough personal protective equipment for nurses. They were really afraid of getting sick, of bringing the virus home to their families. You know, we had these kind of breaks between waves of COVID, but even during those breaks, hospitals were filling up with all of the patients who had put off care at the beginning of the pandemic. And those patients were often very frustrated about the delays in their care. We have had a lot more patients with mental health issues, many more patients overdosing after taking drugs. And all of these factors have just escalated the tensions inside hospitals. Darryl, here's Carrie Passini, a former emergency room nurse, talking about a lot of the hostility that she saw from patients before she quit.
Getting bitten and spit on and punched and kicked. And there is verbal escalation every single day and abuse.
That's terrible.
Yeah, and as bad as that sounds, the main thing I'm hearing from nurses is a deep unease about whether or not they were able to do a good job. And many nurses who've left say they just had more patients than they could care for safely.
So not all nurses are leaving because of working conditions, though, right?
No, many have been out sick with the virus, and some are on long-term disability with COVID now. And there are nurses who've cut their hours because they couldn't deal with the unpredictability of daycare and schools for their young children. There are also nurses who got fired because they refused to get the COVID vaccine. I spoke to Caitlin, who is a travel nurse now, after she was fired from her job as an ICU nurse for refusing to get the COVID vaccine. Caitlin had asked for a medical exemption because she had an anaphylactic reaction to prior vaccinations, and she didn't want to experience that and some of the lingering effects on her body. She's working for hospitals and travel nursing agencies now that have accepted her medical exemption. But Caitlin said those working conditions are very challenging.
I thought the position I was in before was draining. Like, this is just awful. And I don't know if I can go through this stress every 13 weeks trying to find my next contract.
Yeah, it sounds very unstable. So what do nurses want exactly?
Well, it's quite a range. Some want more pay to compensate them for the increased stresses. Some want to work less or have more flexibility about where and when they work. Some nurses talk about wanting fixed limits on the number of patients they can be assigned. You might remember that was a ballot question in Massachusetts in 2018, and it was defeated. Pat Noga at the state's hospital association says there's a lot of attention on trying to retain experienced nurses and at the same time expand training for people who want to come into the profession.
Even trying to work like more closely with schools of nursing and other academic programs than we've ever worked before, you know, because there's just such an urgent need.
But some nurses say bringing in new recruits won't fix the staffing problems unless hospitals and clinics deal with all of these reasons that nurses are leaving.
Yeah, and we're not out of this pandemic yet. There's still a lot of things going on, still a lot of after effects. How are hospitals and health centers handling the issue?
Well, there's a lot of scrambling. Massachusetts hospitals are still relying a lot on travel nurses. So these are people with short-term contracts who come in to fill some of these shifts. Hospitals are starting to develop more wellness programs to try to deal with some of the stresses that nurses are under. But the longer-term solution is really a challenge for everyone right now.
Mm. And so what are nurses doing in the meantime?
Well, we talked about Tatiana, who's going back to school. Carrie Bassini, who we heard from earlier, has taken a job outside a hospital in a community mental health program that she says is much less stressful. You know, Caitlin, who's a travel nurse, doesn't know whether she can keep this up or what else she might do. I spoke to another nurse, Amy Smith, who's started a coffee roasting business with her husband. It's really quite a range. You know, many people are still weighing the possibility that they might go back to direct patient care. But they want to see whether conditions improve.
I hear that. Well, Martha, thanks again for stopping by.
Thank you, Daryl.
That's WBUR reporter Martha Biebinger. Before we go, I should tell you what else is going on. Boston will lift its indoor mask mandate this Saturday. Head of the Boston Public Health Commission, Bisula Ojikutu, pointed to low positivity rates in less busy hospitals.
Our key city metrics are all trending downward.
So, starting this weekend, masks will not be required in most indoor spaces.
Retail establishments, restaurants, bars, performance venues, gyms and fitness centers, social clubs, event spaces.
Face coverings will still be mandated in some settings, including public transportation, hospitals, and prisons. As for the school mask mandate, Ojikutu said that will be discussed again next week. Meanwhile, the pandemic-related eviction moratorium in Boston will end on March 31st. The city first put a moratorium in place last August when the federal one ended. Boston Public Health Commission General Counsel Batul Raza says the protection for renters is ending because the pandemic is easing.
Given the continued improvement in the prevalence and severity of the COVID-19 pandemic, BPHC has ordered an end to this moratorium.
Raza says ending the moratorium at the end of March should give people enough time to find new housing if they need to do that. In other news, the Massachusetts Attorney General's office says there's been an uptick in complaints about text scams over the past year. The scams could be anything from a fake link from FedEx or a fake text from your boss. MIT's Stuart Matnick says text message scams try to rile up their mark.
If they can get you into an anxious frame of mind, you're more likely to fall for these things. So in some sense, none of us are safe if they can find a way to make it emotional for us.
Matnick says the best way to protect yourself is to verify the sender's identity and when in doubt, don't respond. And finally, Asian American scholars and advocates are cheering the end of the U.S. Justice Department's China initiative. The program sought to crack down on Chinese theft of American research. But advocates say the federal government is still unfairly casting suspicions on scholars of Chinese descent and more change needs to follow. MIT professor Gang Chen was charged with grant fraud last year, only to have his name cleared in January. In just the past few weeks, he says he's heard from other Chinese-American scholars fearing a similar ordeal.
A colleague home was visited by FBI, and another colleague from another university called me, and he was searched at the border. And so those are still going on.
If you want to learn more about the China Initiative and its fallout, check out our episode from February 16th with WBUR's Simone Rios and reporter Max Larkin. And that's it for today. From the newsroom of WBUR, I'm Daryl C. Murphy. Stay safe. Talk to you tomorrow. Hey, you're obviously a podcast listener. Would you like this show, along with all of WBUR's best news stories of the day about Boston and the region, all in a podcast feed? I suggest you search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe. You'll be able to find just a local segment of Consider This, plus our best coverage in business, tech, politics, education, and arts coverage, all in one place. Search WBUR News in your podcast app and hit subscribe.